Welcome to Lecture 6 in our series on the Blessed Holy Spirit. In this lecture, we want to speak on a phenomena called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to introduce it by saying this, first of all, that it was promised in the Old Testament, that in the New Testament it was fulfilled and realized, and that we want to consider speaking in other tongues, and then we want to consider also how to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the conditions for receiving it, and for whom the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for, and then the progressive experience in this baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now then, first of all, as we've said, it was promised in the Old Testament. And in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 11 to 12, we read that God, speaking prophetically of our days, says this, that with stammering lips I will speak to this people, a language that they do not understand. And then, as to confirm that this was in actuality speaking of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 21 confirms the authenticity from this verse of the spiritual exercise of speaking in other tongues. We'll look at that in more detail. But also, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is spoken of as a refreshing. It is the blessing that will cause the weary to rest, and also it gives strength, and in another sense, it helps the believer to express the innermost desires of his heart in a way that perhaps he could not do so in his own language. The promise of the Father is given in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3, where the Father gave this promise to the Son that he would pour out his Spirit upon his seed. And clearly, that is indeed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For in Acts chapter 1, just before his ascension and after his resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Tarry," to his disciples, "tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father." Now then, we want to have a look at the New Testament fulfillment and realization of this blessed experience. In the New Testament, it opens with the ministry of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist spoke in a very clear fashion concerning Christ. And he compares his ministry with the ministry of Christ by saying this. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But there cometh one of whom I'm not worthy even to hold his sandals or to carry his sandals. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And so there, the New Testament, as it were, opens with that thought. The Lord is going to baptize his people with the Holy Spirit. And that, of course, occurred on the day of Pentecost after the ascension of our Lord. And that's recorded in Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4, when a rushing wind filled that upper room where they were waiting in obedience for the promise of the Father. And that rushing wind was the Holy Spirit, and it filled them all. And they began to speak in other tongues. Now, I want to look at this phenomena of speaking in other tongues, because throughout the world I've come across countless tens of thousands of people that enjoy this wonderful, wonderful experience. From New Zealand to Australia to Indonesia to the Philippines to India, right into the heart of Africa. Oh, countless hundreds of thousands of people enjoy this wonderful experience. And we want you to, too. So we're going to have a look at it very carefully. Speaking in other tongues can be broken down into three areas. Number one, it is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Secondly, speaking in other tongues can enhance our prayer life and worship. The gift of tongues also is for the edification of the church. So there are three areas there. It's initial evidence of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. It helps our prayers, and also it can be used as messages in our churches. And when we speak in other tongues, we are speaking unto God, and we are speaking mysteries unto God. And we are declaring the wonderful works of God, as it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 12. And we are magnifying the Lord in Acts chapter 10 and verse 16. And also we are building up our spirits and strengthening our inner man. So we're going to consider these in some detail now. The fact that speaking in other tongues is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, whenever we read about the Spirit of God being poured out in the New Testament, there's always an allusion to speaking in other tongues. The initial experience in Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4 is very clear. That indeed they began to speak in other tongues, and as we go on, we find in Acts chapter 10 and verses 44 to 46 that when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the Gentiles, they too began to speak in other tongues, and they did so even whilst the Apostle Peter was speaking. And then we come to another aspect where the Apostle Paul, many years later, in Acts chapter 19 and verses 1 to 6, is on his missionary journey to Ephesus, and he met some Ephesian believers. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 2, he asked this question: have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Well, it meant since you were born again, of course. And they said, well, we did not even know about the Holy Spirit. And many believers today, you know, are quite ignorant of the person of the Holy Spirit and his glorious manifestations for the believers. And so Paul laid his hands upon them. The Holy Ghost came upon them. They spake with tongues and prophesied. So there we have very clearly the fact that in the initial outpouring they spoke with other tongues. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, when Peter was preaching to those Gentiles, they spoke with other tongues. And then many years later, in Ephesus, those Ephesian believers, you know, spoke with other tongues as Paul laid his hands upon them. Well, what is this gift of other tongues? Well, actually, it could be a known or heavenly language. Clearly, in the initial evidence, we find that on the day of Pentecost, there were those believers from many lands who were there in Jerusalem. And they heard these early disciples speaking in other tongues, and they marveled. And they said, but how come these people speak in our language, having never learned? And so it is a known language. And I can testify to that because I was an assistant pastor in France. And in the church in France there, which I was assistant pastor, no one spoke English. And I'm not sure, there may have been 200 believers or Christians in that church, and there was a prayer meeting. And being the assistant pastor, I was sitting with the pastor at the front of the church, and I had a burden. And I really wanted to pray to God, but I didn't want anybody else to know what I was saying. So I thought I was very safe, and I prayed in English. And I asked God for four things. And I was amazed. Here was the pastor walking up and down who did not speak a word of English. And he was praying in French, I think at the moment. He was walking up and down just praying in French. And after I had finished my prayer in English, lo and behold, the pastor starts speaking in perfect English. Perfect English. And through him, God not only confirmed that he heard my prayer, but gave me the specific answers to the questions I had asked him. Oh, I've had many more experiences than that, but that would just confirm that indeed speaking with other tongues means that you can speak in a known language. And Paul also speaks of the fact that it can be tongues of angels too. Now, speaking in other tongues is also the key to power and revelation and the anointing, because the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And as one speaks in other tongues, one feels the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon us. And it transforms us. And it transforms us into a flaming witness. You know, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, these disciples had a prayer meeting. And again, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's a point that I want to bring out too, is this. That we should not just be content with an initial experience, but we want to have constant infillings of the Holy Ghost. And again, you know, in Mark's Gospel, you know, the Lord made it very clear indeed that they that believe shall speak also in other tongues. Now then, the question that we have to ask ourselves is this: how can we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, basically, that's what they asked on the day of Pentecost. All these believers heard the disciples in that upper room speak in other tongues. They recognized that they were speaking and praising God and speaking of the mighty acts of God in a language that they understood, and they knew that the disciples did not understand. And so, quite convicted, you know, when Peter stood up and said, well, this speaks of that which Joel promised, you know, your sons shall prophesy and so forth, they came to him and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? And here we have the steps to receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. First of all, repent. You must be born again. You must be born again. We have to repent of our sins and be born again. And then be baptized in water, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, therefore, we could say this, that we have to repent, be water baptized, and then we become a candidate to receive. But this thought also in Acts speaks of the fact that it's given to all those who obey him. And so therefore here are some of the conditions for receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Number one, obedience. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, and we are witnesses of those things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them who obey him. So obedience is essential for receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This precious gift is not going to be given to the disobedient, but those who are the obedient, walk in obedience to the Lord. And then also believing. In John chapter 7 and verse 39, it says that Jesus spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. It's essential to believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's essential to believe in this experience. One is not going to receive without faith. Without faith. So, we have to read various portions that I've quoted, the Acts of the Apostles, Corinthians, and so forth, concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that faith may be engendered in our heart, that we can believe to receive. And then also desire. You know, again, coming back to John 7, verse 37, of which Jesus was speaking concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." In other words, we must have a thirst for the things of God. We often think, you know, and some rather foolishly say, well, you know, the Lord knows where I am and the Lord can give me what he wants and so forth. No, the Word of God is very clear. Throughout all Scripture, it is manifestly clear that the blessings of God come upon those who seek him, those who desire them, those who treasure those things. And so therefore, in order to receive, we must have a hunger and thirst, a desire. But also, there's another condition that the Lord himself gives too, and that is persistence. Speaking of the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Lord gives a parable in Luke chapter 11, and verse 1 onwards. He talks about a friend coming to his neighbor's house and asking bread because some strangers have come to his house and he has nothing to feed them. And it's a time when the neighbor's in bed and he doesn't want to be disturbed. But the other one is desperate. He has to have something. So he keeps knocking until he gives him. And the Lord made the point, it wasn't based on friendship, but on importunity or persistent asking. You know, he continues by saying, "And how much more shall the Lord give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And so there you have the thought of importunity. We must keep knocking and knocking and knocking, asking, asking and asking, until we receive. To me it was so important, I sought the Holy Spirit for months before I received. But when I received, what a glorious experience it was, alone in the hills of England. Well, then again, the question is, for whom is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? To whom shall it be offered? Well, here again, you know, people say, well, it's not for me. It's not for me. They say, well, it might be for you, but it's not for me. But that is quite contrary to what the Apostle Peter, the first apostle, said. And he said this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38-39. You know, he started off, as we've said before, well, repentance is needed. We have to be baptized in water. And then he goes on to say this: for the promise, speaking of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Well, I think we're afar off, aren't we? Geographically, perhaps, we're afar off from Jerusalem, but also historically we're afar off too. 2,000 years away from that glorious experience. And yet, as we read these words, and to all that are afar off, and then to emphasize this, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Have you been called of God? Are you saved? Water baptized? Well then, you are surely a candidate for the Holy Spirit. If you will but walk in obedience and seek Him earnestly, there you're included in that glorious promise. You are included in that glorious promise. Do you believe? Do you desire? Are you obedient? Are you persistent? If you are, it's very clear that the promise is for you. And so I want to encourage you. Believe, obey, seek, and ye shall find. And countless, I have said, thousands upon thousands, actually millions throughout the world, were baptized in the Holy Ghost. They all desired, they all sought the Lord. And He graciously gave them the promise of the Father. Well, when we have received this glorious experience, we don't want to settle down. We don't want to plateau. This is one of the great dangers in life as a whole, and certainly in the Christian life, that people attain unto a certain level and then they're content. You know, when I was young, when I was at school, the equivalency of a high school in England, we had a teacher, a history teacher. She was a lady, and you know, she had a notebook in front of us, and she would dictate the lessons, and at the same time she would write them down. And so in a year or two she had written down all the lessons that she had taught. What was her purpose? Well, it was that she would no longer have to study. She would have all her notebooks with her own notes. And so she could go into the class, and there she could, from these notes, then teach the class, and you wouldn't have to go on. Now that's not the case, you see, in life. You have to keep studying. You have to keep going on. If you do that in a secular life, you plateau. And that's as far as you get. But certainly, it's far worse in the spiritual. In the spiritual life, you see, if you stop, you don't remain. You start to slide back and get cold. And you go down and down, back to perhaps where you started from, or even worse before that. It is so dangerous in life to plateau. And so, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we don't read just of initial experience on the day of Pentecost, But we read rather in Acts chapter 4 of a situation where the disciples were really desperate. And so what happened was this. They had a prayer meeting. And in that prayer meeting, they besought the Lord to pour out his Spirit afresh upon them. And the whole house shook with the power of the Holy Ghost. And the result was they were all again immersed in the Holy Ghost. I want to just mention this word baptism so that we thoroughly understand it. Baptism is an anglicized word for the Greek word, you know, I baptize, baptizo. And it was used of a ship that had sunk, and indeed the water completely overflowed it and flowed through it. It's also used of a lady who has a garment, wants to change the color of the garment, puts it in a bucket of dyeing fluid and puts it in there, and the Greeks say she has baptized it. Well, you see, that is what baptism means. It means to be inundated with the Holy Ghost, every pore of your being flowing out with the Holy Spirit. And those disciples were not content with the first initial experience. They wanted to be completely, constantly filled with the Holy Ghost. And I want to encourage you, don't be content. But as the Apostle Paul said, be ye being filled with the Holy Ghost. God bless you, and may you experience a mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And may you go on in your Christian experience, not satisfied with that initial experience, but going on as the disciples in the New Testament were doing, having other Holy Ghost meetings, that they were constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. God bless you.